Hello, welcome to the Law Report. Today, come travel with me to the Kimberley in northwest WA to visit a unique prison, the first of its kind. Opened in late 2012, the West Kimberley Regional Prison is specifically designed to house local Indigenous offenders. Just a few kilometres from the state-of-the-art facility is the famous Derby Boab Prison Tree. Local traditional owner Lena Fraser walked me around what is today an eerie and extraordinary tourist attraction that harks back to a very dark time.
Lena, tell me about this enormous, really, really fat boab tree. It's probably 6 or 7 metres wide or from side to side.
Yeah, the prison boab tree. That held 23 of, like, those prisoners in that photo there.
Mm-hmm.
They had the horseshoe rungs, you know, the horseshoes, and they hammered them into the tree and they put prisoners around the tree as well. So they were all
chained
around, yeah, yep.
Mm. Chained around the edge of the boab tree.
Yep, plus the 23 was jam-packed in the tree.
23 people packed inside the hollow trunk of boab tree.
Yeah, and then they take them to Derby.
Would it have been over the years hundreds of people would have stayed here overnight?
Oh, yes, definitely. To keep them off the land from fighting and then take them to the old Derby prison.
That old Derby prison, located on the main street of the town, also holds very painful memories for Indigenous people. Essentially a giant cage with a roof, Lena Fraser says her family members, who were part of the Stolen Generation, were housed there as children before being shipped off to other parts of WA. And at other times, up to 60 adult male prisoners were crammed into the cage at night after working around the town. Many were in jail for eating the livestock put on their land by white arrivals. Eight kilometres south of Derby, in a bush setting studded with ancient boab trees, is the brand new $150 million West Kimberley Regional Prison. Opened in late 2012, the facility is state-of-the-art. But of course, it has to deal with the complex issues surrounding Indigenous incarceration that have developed over the last 200 years.
G'day, Damien Carrick and Ben Collins from ABC Radio. Here to see Superintendent Mike McFarlane.
I'll call him now and he'll go and get you, OK?
Chief.
Prison Superintendent Mike McFarlane ushers me through the second set of security doors. Emerging into the prison, I'm surprised to see trees, houses, and most surprisingly of all, a golf buggy. The superintendent then invites me to jump into this unexpected mode of transport.
To give you an idea of the actual size of the estate, as they call it here, it's quite spread out.
Yeah.
And it's not that feeling of claustrophobic feeling that you get in maybe some of the bigger jails, or ones that have got a smaller footprint. Just doing a inner circuit past the men's accommodation areas. So each one of these houses is set up for seven men. It's run on a self-care model, which means they've got to look after themselves, cooking, cleaning, learn the skills, eat healthy, maintain their houses, trying to develop a little bit of self-pride.
Our first stop is the prison kitchen to meet kitchen supervisor Ian West.
So it's a big industrial kitchen, isn't it? So how much food do you prepare in here every day?
The kitchen itself is fairly high capacity. We do have quite a bit of very good modern equipment, so built to cater for the whole site and beyond.
People aren't in cells here, they're in little houses, and they have kitchens in their houses. Is that right?
Correct. On the whole, the prisoners cook for themselves. This particular kitchen becomes a collation point to distribute all the fresh products out to those houses. It's also an area where we produce staff meals and meals for other areas of the prison and so on. So yeah, there's some good opportunities for prisoners to learn some good hospitality skills.
So tell me, what's on the menu today?
Today we've got shepherd's pie with fresh garden salad. Tonight we have an Asian stir fry for staff meals.
Can I ask what your name is, just your first name?
My name's Brendan.
G'day, Brendan. Do you enjoy working here in the kitchen?
Yes, I do. I work here every day. I've learned how to cook, you know, meals properly. I've got my first certificate for hospitality, and I'll be going for my second one, the second certificate, so maybe on the outside I'll have to do something a little bit better.
Cheers.
Yeah, Mike McFarlane. Yeah, so it's the cooking shepherd's by here today.
And that'll supply the whole site. They also do the staff meals as well, so at the moment we're looking at a little bit of a cooking competition that we're planning for, and it's just to show off what they've actually learned. That'll be interesting to see, because I'll have to do the official tasting and that one as well. But I'll be polite.
Master chef. Superintendent chef.
Well, actually, my kangaroo rules, we're going to call it. So.
My kangaroo rule.
So we use kangaroo meat as the main theme, so again, showcase what they've learned. Get the elders in, or the old people from the old people's home to come in and do a bit of tasting and those sort of things as well. But again, then they'll have to learn the special diet side of things, because different people have different diets as well.
And we're now just emerging from the kitchen and back into the heat. Mike McFarlane, these trees, some of these trees are really old. I mean, this prison's new, so did you build the prison around the trees?
Yeah, the architects, as part of their design, they left the, particularly the baobab trees. Here we want to keep the aesthetics of the prison. If you get a positive atmosphere, you get positive results out of your prisoners and your staff as well.
How many prisoners are there here?
The muster numbers here are 150, and that's 120 males and 30 women. So.
How big is the footprint of the jail?
The actual jail footprint is approximately 20 acres with inside the fence line. It's about 2.1 k's around the perimeter. As you look around, if you were to look across the angle that we're looking at the moment, it looks more like a community in the Kimberley as opposed to a prison.
It also looks like a brand new high school in some ways, yeah. To me. Some colourful, you know, architect design buildings with clad in colour-bond, surrounded by a lot of green areas and basketball courts, an oval. So it's very different from a conventional prison. There's nothing like it in Australia, is there?
Not that I'm aware of. I don't know if there's anything like it in the world. My idea is to make a better person, not a better prisoner, if you like, in that respect. So given that we're a small community, Derby, the person that I look after today might be my neighbour tomorrow.
The other really amazing thing about this prison is that you have obviously very kind of thick, secure walls, but you can see through them. You can see beyond the prison walls into the surrounding bush, which is pretty beautiful.
They can direct, especially the people in the local area, there's direct links to the land. The Aboriginal people have links to the land from whichever area they're from. The Kimberley guys, they can actually see out, you know, they can see the animals moving in bits and pieces. The fence is definitely there and you can't miss it, and we are a jail. And just having that, being able to see out, I suppose it creates, it makes it feel bigger than it actually is.
I believe there's sometimes also animals inside the grounds because they're so big. What do you have inside the prison?
Well, at the moment we've got a couple of wallabies that are still inside and they're left over from the build. We also have what I call bungaras where I come from, a couple of parentes or goanna or lizards. My only rule is that they're all the pets of the superintendent and they're not on the menu, basically. And the advantage of having the bungaras here is they actually eat the brown snakes and the other snakes that are in sight. So,
look, I'm really interested, Superintendent McFarlane. You're an Indigenous man. I think you're the second Indigenous superintendent. The first one was in Alice Springs Jail. You then took over from that man as the superintendent of Alice Springs Jail. Tell me, what's your story? How did you get into, I think, first police and into corrections?
I suppose I fell into it, same as everybody else. When you leave school, everyone wants to be an astronaut or a fireman or something like that. And the parents brought me up with a good work ethic. But, yeah, I did a bit of time in the health department here in WA, a bit of time in the Aboriginal Liaison Unit in those days in the police department, and then sort of progressed to prisons. Did 10 years in the prisons or so here and then moved to the Northern Territory for a period of time. Now I'm back over here specifically for this jail. When I heard about, you know, what they were building, what the whole purpose was, my eyes lit up, if you like.
This country has, in the last 200-odd years, has a terrible history of locking up Indigenous people. How do you, as an Indigenous man, see that? Some people might say, you're now locking black people up.
I suppose you can look at it that way. Again, I go back to the positives. I understand I work in a negative environment, but what can I do that's positive out of it? So if I've got somebody in here who doesn't have the skills or the skill set, can I get them taught in those skill sets? You know, for me, it's for the people there, they'll have that knowledge that, yes, this fellow's an Aboriginal man as well. He's got a little bit more knowledge about different cultures and that, because I moved around different parts of the state. I lived in metro areas and also lived in really remote areas as well. What can that knowledge be bought? Probably more of an open ear and listening to people.
What's the percentage of Indigenous people employed here at the jail?
I believe there's about 18 permanent staff, and then we have outside providers, and that's out of approximately 130 staff. So a percentage would be well over the 20% mark.
We jump back into the golf buggy. And you have minimum and medium security prisoners here, don't you?
We have all three security rows.
Oh, you have high security?
Well, yeah.
We're now just arriving in a big wall which says female section on it.
Thank you, miss.
I've arranged to meet a female prisoner and also to catch up with local elder Lena Fraser, who had earlier showed me around Derby's Boab prison tree. She's a regular visitor to the new prison.
And we're just pulling up to a large vegetable garden here in the middle of a prison. Fantastic. And it's right next door to a very beautiful, enormous, fat, chunky Boab tree. And for people who are not used to them, they're wonderful. Looking out onto this garden, what have we got growing here? Look, is that corn?
Corn, tomatoes, kohlrabi, beetroot, chilies, capsicum, spinach.
You come in here sometimes and help women with the garden, is that right?
I just give them ideas and then they carry on with the workers. Yeah, give them what to do. As a mentor, you know. Yeah.
Well, how do you mentor them?
Well, I ask them what their interests are. And like if they got gardening, sewing, or whatever. If they have lost their culture and if they want to get back into their culture.
So you're here and the outside community's here to try and help people stay connected.
Yeah. Mm. Because they can think of it with a positive attitude of going back into that community where they come from and go on and, you know, have a better life, like, you know.
Hello, my name's Damien.
Yeah, Fathamia.
Fathamia. Are you a prisoner here?
Yes.
How long's your sentence? Are you here for a while?
16 months.
What's it like here at this prison?
It's nice. There's a lot of help to identify our problems, trying to fix it, so we can change and be a better person when we get out. My issue is mainly anger. I have a lot of anger issues. I've been just working and talking with my counsellors. That's helped me a lot. Yeah.
And tell me, are you involved in the garden here?
Yeah, it's really good. I've actually learned a lot how to maintain the garden and which plants to look after and which mulch and what sort of soil to do and stuff like that. Yeah.
What about food and nutrition? Have you learned a lot about that while you've been here?
Yes, just knowing that veggies are really good to put in with meat, because as Aboriginal people we like to eat a lot of meat and we forget a lot about using veggies and stuff.
And they're expensive.
Yeah, they are. So learning how to grow tomatoes and beetroots and pumpkins and even fruits like pineapples and pawpaws. So yeah, if you learn to grow it, it'd be much cheaper.
Mike McPhailen, the superintendent, he's an Indigenous man. Does it make a difference to have an Indigenous man as the boss here at a prison, do you think?
Yeah, I think it makes a heaps difference, because a non-Indigenous person can say they've been in a local Aboriginal town for 20 years, but they don't really understand. You have to actually be an Indigenous person to actually understand our culture and our beliefs and where we come from and stuff.
And, of course, there's a long history of black people being incarcerated by white people in this country, and in this prison it's a bit different. Or is it?
I can't really answer that. I hope it will make a difference in the future, and hopefully by him being an Indigenous superintendent that he will make some changes. Yeah.
I've been in a few prisons. This looks better than a lot of prisons I've been in. It's still a prison, isn't it? And it must be still be tough times for you as a prisoner.
Yeah, it's because I'm a mum and I miss my kids. You do your daily thing. You work, you get up, do your work at 8 o'clock, right up until 2, and then you have your rec time, and then we get locked down and stuff. Like, we do normal routine of prison stuff. So we are reminded every day that we are in prison now, yeah.
What's the toughest time to be a prisoner?
For myself, especially at night, just knowing if my kids are safe, because most of the time they're missing me, and just not being there for them in the morning, making them breakfast, getting them ready for school and stuff.
This place seems quite nice. I've heard some people say that it's better to be in prison than out in sometimes in unsafe places. What's your experience?
Yeah, I suppose because in here, you know, we've got a nice clean bed to sleep in. We've got a washing machine. We have food every day. We don't get humbugged. Humbugged people want to bring alcohol and drugs into your house. So we feel more safe in here, and we feel we have a good routine. We're working. We have a stable job, especially for the women.
In some ways, it might be safer.
Yes, it actually is safer, because actually outside, I'm getting my ex-partner yelling at me, screaming at me, swearing, but where's here? I don't have that. I have my own time to think. I don't have the bad situation of people fighting and overcrowding of houses and things. So in here, it just feels much safer, yeah.
Having said that, you don't want to be in prison for long, though. You want to go home, yeah.
No, at the end of the day, I want to go home. I'd rather be home. I'd rather be with my kids.
Thank you very much for speaking to the Law Report. It's a real pleasure to meet you.
No worries. Thank you for your time.
Tracy. Hi, Tracy. Yes. You're one of the prison guards here at the women's section of the prison.
Yes.
Have you been here since the prison opened?
No, I actually came here in January last year, so I've been here for 16 months. Yeah. I actually come from Haycliffe, so
A prison down in Perth.
Yes. It's really quite low-key compared to what I'm used to, yeah. A lot of them, when they first come into the prison, couldn't even cook or work a microwave. And then over time, they've learnt to cook food. Just simple things that we all take for granted is something that they just couldn't do. And now, over night time, we'll go in during lock-up, and nearly every house we walk into is a beautiful smell. They're cooking dinner for everyone, and, yeah, it's really good.
And you haven't seen that in any other prison?
No. No, not at all. This is the first time I've ever worked in where it's basically self-care. Yeah.
Can we go into...
We're going into 6C.
Okay. Fathima, we're going into your house. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Lovely. Are you cooking at the moment?
Yeah. I'll be cooking tonight, spaghetti bolognese. Yeah. So, yeah.
Excellent. Okay, after you. Thank you. Fans whirring overhead, and it's much cooler in here. You've got a lounge room and a kitchen, a dining room table. We've got a roster on the fridge door. Gee, I need one of those in my house.
All the girls have got a roster each day, and, you know, like, somebody will be responsible for cleaning the kitchen, doing the bathroom, and they all clean their own cells. Outside cleaner, hallway. Everyone's got their own chore to do, and this turns around every week, doesn't it? And followed almost to the T every week. So,
fantastic.
So it's all really good.
Great, and I can see you've got capsicum inside the fridge. You've got capsicum, carrots, potatoes, tomatoes. Someone's obviously been making pizza. Chilies, whoa, big, some big chilies and eggs are big. Yeah, great. How many people live in this house?
There's actually four at the moment, but it's housed to get six people.
Uh-huh, yeah.
There you go, all right.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for letting us into your private space.
I'm Damien Carrick, and you're listening to The Law Report on ABC RN, ABC News Radio and Radio Australia. Today we're visiting the West Kimberley Regional Prison outside Derby. At the website abc.net.au/RN, we have a fantastic photo gallery that gives you a strong sense of the prison. The photos were taken by my colleague Ben Collins, the cross-media reporter with ABC Kimberley, who accompanied me to Derby. We also have a link to Ben's feature article on Superintendent Mike McFarlane and also on one of the inmates that we met that day. Our next stop is one of the residential houses in the men's section of the prison. Kitchen supervisor Ian West greets me at the front door.
So how many people live in this house?
Actually, let's check with one of the guys. How many in this house at the moment?
Not now, at the moment we got about five.
About five people here?
I'll be getting that soon.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Probably on Monday.
On Monday?
Yeah.
How long have you been here for?
I've been down south nearly a year. Came here to finish off my last couple of months.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
How does this prison compare to other prisons?
It's one of the best prisons. Yeah, you get to walk around just like you're walking around in the bush. Yeah.
Well, thank you. Good talking to you. Cheers. So, Ian, they're preparing a meal, so can we go in and see that?
Absolutely. We've got apricot chicken. It'll contain quite a bit of veggie.
Yeah. I noticed the knife is on a cord or a chain, so you can't take it away from the kitchen.
No, that's right. The knives are attached to lanyards in the houses. The house members do have access to the knives throughout the day and evening to prepare meals and so on. It provides a little bit of flexibility with safety, so, yeah it's an important thing.
Can I ask, do you enjoy cooking here?
Yeah, it's different to, like, the other prisons, you know? Yeah.
How's it different from the other prisons?
Make you feel more like human, you know? Yeah. And I've been in for a long, very long time, so I don't really get to cook your own food down south. Yeah.
Were they different from here?
Yeah, totally different, yeah.
How were they different?
They're more military and stuff like that, you know, and more strict, yeah. Yeah, it's more like a community sort of like atmosphere, you know, and where you're up there, it's like you're in prison, you know you're in prison, yeah.
What about the food preparation? Is that different here from other jails?
Yeah, of course. You live on a trolley in other jails. Yeah.
What do you mean you live on a trolley?
Yeah, well, everything that comes on a trolley, you eat, you know. Well, you can make your own dishes, you know. You cook your own food, you know. And you can eat when you want to eat instead of on the timing when they want you, you know. Like, there's a time, fixed time you got to eat in other jails, and if you don't eat, you miss out, you know. So here you can not only prepare what you want, you can eat when you want to. Yeah.
And tell me, what are your favourite meals?
Turtle and dugong.
Do you get turtle and dugong here?
Nothing. Yeah. not at the moment, yeah.
I've heard you get rutail sometimes. That's sometimes made available, is that right?
I don't know, but that's, you can get that in any prison, yeah. I would like to get my own traditional food, yeah. I've come from saltwater, see, yeah. So, yes, I don't eat kangaroo, yeah, on the outside, yeah.
So that's just a white person's idea of what traditional food is for all Aboriginal people, but it's different for everyone, of course. Yeah. What do you like to cook in prison?
Whoa. Whatever, there, chicken or whatever, yeah. I mess around making pizza and cakes, you know. It's like, I'm like to experiment, you know. Yeah, just mess around, yeah.
We're almost on the edge of the prison, and out through the window you can see through the metal fence, but it's see-through, and you can see the bush on the other side. It sometimes feels like you're not in a prison here, but you are still in a prison, aren't you?
Absolutely in a prison, yeah. Still, my freedom was not, you know, been taken away, yeah. But it's more comfortable, yeah.
Good on you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. Sorry, Ian.
But just sort of, you know, add on to, we do have plans in place later on for, hopefully for families to bring in the meats that are relevant to this area. So, you know, there's a number of different, you know, like dugong, turtle, bush turkey, goanna and so on, which are all relevant foods to these guys, perhaps through a family gift, because those animals are quite obviously not commercially available. Yeah.
Ian West, the prison's kitchen supervisor. He walks me over to the prison shop where I meet Caroline Eisen, the education and campus manager, and also Jodie Miller, the assistant superintendent of offender services.
And as you can hear from the bouncing of the basketballs, it's right next to the covered sports area. Oh, that's good. Oh, I can feel a blast of cold air. And we're now in a little shop in the middle of the prison. Jodie, hi. How does this self-care model work?
Basically, the men and the women of the prison prepare all their own meals, their breakfasts, lunch and tea. We're in the process at the moment of all the prisoners working towards a budget for each of their houses, so that the prisoners actually come in, the prices are on the shelves, they use calculators, and they also do some, before they come, they do menu planning.
Yeah, Caroline, this is part of the integrated approach to numeracy and literacy, isn't it?
Yes. Absolutely. What we're concentrating on is money, budgeting, things like that, that's really going to be relevant when they leave, so they can be independent.
It's hard to understand, but many of these people don't have those basic skills.
No, not at all. Some of them have never had to cook a meal for themselves. Some of them have never had to budget.
You're also trying to challenge ideas about gender roles too.
That's right. When I initially started at West Kimberley, which was prior to the commissioning, we got a lot of feedback, I guess, from the naysayers who said to me, culturally, men don't cook, that's up to the women. But I'd like those naysayers to come in now and see the men cooking, and not just that they're cooking, but the quality of the food that they're cooking. So, for example, we had one young prisoner who said, when I get out, I'm going to be able to teach my kids how to make muesli bars, you know, healthy choices.
Caroline, tell me, what are the stats in terms of the educational or the numeracy and literacy levels of people here at the prison?
Literacy levels are running at below grade 3 levels, 36% of our prison population. Grade 3 level is 41% for literacy, so as you can see, really bad, very, very low scores. Numeracy is about the same. We're running at grade 3, 63% of our population, and below grade 3, 41% of our population.
And we've just produced the West Kimberley Regional Prison cookbook, and even in the cookbook we've had to really use as much as we can images, visual prompts, tools to show the recipes so that it, you know, aids the prisoners in preparing their meals.
And Jodie Miller, tell me, is this self-care model different from other prisons? I mean, is there anything else like it?
Not in the world. There's a level of energy when you walk into a prison, and I guess that's associated with risk in prisons. But when you come to West Kimberley, I feel like there's much more of a positive energy, and you can really see that we're making a difference here and seeing the prisoners really engage in the process of what we're trying to do. So, yeah, it's wonderful.
Jodie Miller, thank you.
Thank you very much.
It's not only people who work at the prison who describe it as unique and groundbreaking. On the other side of the country, John Wrynn is an academic based at Griffith University in Brisbane. He's currently trying to create a national measure of prison quality for Indigenous Australians. He visits prisons all around the country, and he agrees with Jodie Miller's positive assessment of the West Kimberley Regional Prison.
Prisoners, I've been to some horrendous institutions, and there was one I went to where it was all but 50 degrees inside.
It was a concrete block?
Yeah, concrete block, a standard, what's called second generation prison, so built in the 1970s, no airflow, no air conditioning, no fans. I said to one of the prisoners, what's it like here? He said, oh, it's better than home. You know, and then other prisoners said to me, humans can get used to anything, but what does getting used to mean? The notions of better than home, if we explore that, usually it means it's safer for the short term. Now, if we were then to look at West Kimberley, then we have a totally different prison. So, yeah, it is an environment that is showing them this is what is possible for life.
I spoke to one prisoner who described the West Kimberley Regional Prison as calm and safe. Is there a danger that we could be making the prison environment too comfortable? I've heard that criticism. What do you think?
Yeah, I hear that a lot. I mean, you've been into the prison. I spend a lot of my time in prison. I'm so glad to get out at the end of the day. Even at the most comfortable prison, you still know at the end of the day, I'm getting out of here. Prisons remove control. That's what they're meant to do. West Kimberley removes control in a way that is more culturally respectful. But at the end of the day, the Aboriginal person in there is still a prisoner. They have still broken the law and they are serving a sentence. And they have to do that in a way that is fair. But West Kimberley, even though it's structured in a certain way, retains high levels of discipline. Prisoners know, though, if they take one step out of line, they'll be put down in the detention unit or they'll be breached or they'll be sent out. So the environment just says, look, this is what's possible. We can hold you in a more humane place. Just because you serve time in a prison that is more humane or at least more decent doesn't mean that it's still not a prison.
This prison in West Kimberley is very expensive, $100-something million to build. Would it be better to spend the money on diversionary programs for young people to keep them from ending up in prison in the first place?
That's a really tough question. If we look at Aboriginal crime and we looked at it as a circle, prison is just one place in that circle. The factors that lead to it are poverty, alcohol abuse, drug abuse, dysfunctional communities, those sorts of things. If somehow we could invest X billion dollars and just change community life with Aboriginal people, then maybe that would, in the downstream effect, reduce prison populations. Currently, however, we have a massive overrepresentation of Aboriginal people in prison, which is wrong. But the West Kimberley Prison and other institutions in South Australia have a couple of units within larger facilities. New South Wales has one. Are trying to make culturally appropriate institutions. I mean, we shouldn't need Aboriginal prisons. That is, without doubt, the overriding thing. But in the current time, we need to address the problem that's in our face.
John Rynne, Senior Lecturer at Griffith University. That's the Law Report for this week. Thanks to producer Anita Barrow and to audio engineer Melissa May. And a very big thank you to Ben Collins, the ABC Kimberley's cross-media reporter, who accompanied me on my trip to the West Kimberley Regional Prison. That's it for this week. Talk to you next week with more Law.